How you doing, everybody? Welcome into Sports Talk on a Wednesday. Scott Beatty here, along with News Gazette sports editor Matt Daniels, who's pinch hitting for Scott Ritchie, who's still in travel mode coming back from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, after that Illinois basketball game last night. How you doing there, Matt?
Doing well. Glad to fill in for Scott, who is en route back to Champaign-Urbana after a quick day trip yesterday to North Carolina.
We'll do a little bit more post-mortem on the Illini's loss to the Demon Deacons and talk some football here along the way. Kind of a nice mix, a buffet of sports for us today as we get volleyball. Head coach Chris Thomas caught up with him as the team makes their way out to Seattle for their postseason appearance. They take on Hawaii Friday night. Colin Likas will drop by, New News Gazette sports prep reporter as well, and continue our tour of area high school basketball coaches with Verdell Jones out of Urbana High School. So a lot to get to today. Hopefully there's something that will please your sports palate.
Still going on that buffet theme, Scott.
Got to milk it for all it's worth. Y'all Big Ten first team announced today for offense, and division champions Ohio State and Wisconsin have plenty of representatives, four apiece. Coming out from Ohio State, JT Barrett is the quarterback. Guard Michael Jordan, not the basketball player, but just another guy named Michael Jordan.
A guard, though.
Yeah. Center Billy Price, tackle Jamarco Jones. Some of the guys from Wisconsin, running back Jonathan Taylor, tight end Troy Fumagalli, tackle Michael Dieter. Penn State running back Saquon Barkley, Indiana receiver Simi Combs, Maryland receiver DJ Moore. There's plenty more guys named to the second and third teams. And then after that, you get to the honorable mentions, where you find Illinois' Nick Allegretti, who also won the Sportsmanship Award, right?
Yeah, the lone Illini recognized by the All-Big Ten in terms of the offensive selections, and that's not
about
really,
right.
Not really a shock, considering Illinois had the worst offense in the Big Ten this past season. But kudos to Allegretti, a fourth-year junior, will be a fifth-year senior next year. But he came in with a lot of promise out of Lincoln Way East High School as a U.S. Army All-American, the last one that Illinois had, and initially a center in high school. He's kind of played all over the line, but he really seemed to solidify one of those guard spots this past season. And, you know, he'll go into next season among the leaders on the Illinois team.
Hey, he was really looked at that as well this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing is all those guys on the offensive line, everyone's back. Those that aren't transferring
away. it's only day three of the transfer watch, Scott.
and we'll get into that in a moment, but they're going to be bigger, they're going to be stronger, they're going to have some more experience. Some of the other headlines, NBA, Chicago Bulls forward Nico Mirotic says he's accepted Bobby Portis's apology more than a month after the two teammates had an ugly altercation at practice. It put Mirotic in the hospital. It happened back on October 17th. Declined to comment, though, whether he requested a trade. The two players were seen giving each other a fist bump during last night's five-point loss to the Phoenix Suns. And Mirotic says the two are working to make it work.
That'd just be awkward to go back to a workplace after someone had punched you in the face and broken several
bones. Now you know how I feel every time I see you.
Oh, wow, Scott. We
You've never
there.
Punched
no,
me.
No, I haven't, and no. I never will. but no,
you say that now.
Well, we're sitting a good deal of length away from each other right here, Scott.
That's right. It's a good buffer here.
Yeah, the Bulls just a train wreck of a season. It's full rebuild mode on Madhouse on Madison, which is not very lively anymore these days, considering the brand of basketball they're playing, but we'll see if that Mirotić-Portis thing, how that persists, I guess, throughout the rest of the course of the season.
NFL, Bears are bringing back linebacker Lamar Houston. They claim him off waivers from the Houston Texans. Houston began the season with, and that's Houston in Houston, 30-year-old Houston played five games to the Texans after being released by the Bears on September 6th. So what goes around comes around there. Miami Dolphins coach Adam Gase says quarterback Jay Cutler is out of concussion protocol and will start against Denver on Sunday, just in case you have the good fortune of having Jay Cutler on your fantasy team. And then Giants co-owner John Mara says there was probably a better way for the team to handle the benching of Eli Manning after 13 seasons. He says one of the things that, upon further reflection, could have done was be present at the team headquarters when Manning was devastated by the decision. Also says he miscalculated Manning's reaction, thinking that the 36-year-old face of the franchise would accept starting his 211th consecutive game on Sunday and then handing off to Smith in the second half.
Yeah, I saw some video of Manning talking to reporters near his locker on Tuesday, and it looked like he had to struggle for the words there. He got a little bit choked up, and understandably so, considering the lengthy streak that he's had in consecutive starts. Especially, like you said, he's the face of that Giants franchise.
I've never been in this position, but those of you who have had to deliver news to, like, an employee that they've been demoted or they're getting the axe, you know, there's never, like, a good way to do that or a good timing, but there are worse ways to do it. And so Eli Manning, a great quarterback through the years. I know he's had his fair share of criticism, but we are talking about a two-time Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, he's done some good things for that franchise, no doubt.
College football, Mississippi State has hired away Penn State offensive coordinator Joe Moorhead. He replaces Dan Mullen, who goes to Florida. Major League Baseball news, Carlos Beltran is interviewed to become the first manager of the New York Yankees just 4 weeks after playing the final game of his 20-year Major League career, probably headed to the Hall of Fame as a player. I cannot recall somebody that's made that quick of a jump into the managing ranks.
You obviously got Dave Roberts with the Dodgers, but his playing career had been over for a few years. And I look at the Cardinals with Mike Matheny, his playing career had been over too. And Robin Ventura when he was at the White Sox. But I can't, I'd have to be hard pressed to go do some research and try to find out, a player playing 1 year and then transitioning right into a managerial role. You look at the NBA, I believe that's happened with Derek Fisher when he's with the Knicks, and then Jason Kidd when he's with the Nets as well. But baseball, it's a little bit different. So we'll see what happens out on the Bronx, though, in New York.
Pete Rose jumped into the managerial ranks. Evan Kahn's reminding me. I can't remember how quickly that happened, but usually you do something else. Well, he was a player manager. That's right. I forgot. But, yeah, usually everybody else has had, since the Pete Rose era, usually you have some sort of
It hasn't happened in quite some time, and those player manager roles are pretty much extinct.
We mentioned the transferring that's going on. Illinois now has four football players that have transferred away from the program as Tito Odenebo announced that he is leaving, defensive lineman for the Illini. In the midst of that, something posted by Malik Turner on his Twitter account today, at @M_Turner11. This is kind of a nice goodbye note, and it's a bit lengthy, several paragraphs. I'll read just a bit of it here. From adjusting out of high school to simply understanding the business of college football, it was a real eye-opener reflecting on his career. Going into this, I did not know I would lose my athletic director, head coach twice, position coach, offensive coordinator, strength and conditioning staff, and more. I say this not because I regret anything, but because it took me all by surprise. I've learned a lot from my 4 years and have developed relationships that will last a lifetime. You learn so much from those who have impacted you, and no one can take these things away from me. Things did not go the way I wanted them to by a long shot, but the Illini will see brighter days. Mr. Whitman has put this university in a great position to rebuild and put our football program in line with the best in the Big Ten. Behind Coach Smith and his staff, the Illini will be on top soon as they continue to learn from great teachers. To the loyal Illini fans who have continued to hold us down through this building process, don't give up. We appreciate you. And when it's all said and done, the wait will have been worth it. We will all be a part of a dynasty. Even when I'm not here to experience it, I will still feel connected because I will forever bleed orange and blue. I thought that was a nice time, especially because Malik Turner didn't have the season that expectations were there. And I don't know that's all on him. I mean, obviously, there wasn't really anybody throwing the ball to him that. But from going to a guy that represented the club at Big Ten Media Days to a guy that basically had underperforming numbers, and again, that's not all on him, I thought that was really well said and a nice note.
Yeah, it's a classy gesture by a guy whose college football career has ended. And I remember talking to Malik, meeting him for the first time when he was a senior at Sacred Heart Griffin High School in Springfield. Bob Osmussen and I drove over there and spent about an hour with him and talked to Ken Leonard, the SHG coach as well. And he was a guy that when he committed to Illinois, not too many people were sure about him just because he'd battled injuries throughout his high school career. And then he really broke out his senior year after he'd already committed to Illinois and had a banner senior year. Coming from a program like SHG where you've had nothing but success and going to Illinois where You know, they had some success in the 2010-2011 seasons going to bowl games, and he probably thought he could help turn the program around a little bit. And, you know, he did end up playing in a bowl game his freshman year at the Heart of Dallas Bowl. He contributed right away as a true freshman and really became a go-to receiver in parts of his sophomore and junior year. But like you said, Scott, his final season didn't really turn out the way I don't think he or a lot of people probably anticipated it to do. But through it all, he stayed, you know, calm, cool, and collected. And it was cool to kind of see his transformation too, you know, having dealt with him a little bit in high school to what he was like now as a college senior ready to graduate. And, you know, he's going to give it his all and try to make it at the next level. And we'll see what happens.
So looking at the other side of this, the four transfers that have are leaving the program, Trey Watson, Gabe Meginson,
Pat Nelson.
To me, which I think is the biggest loss out of the whole group, and Tito Adenabo. How concerning do you think this is? Is this par for the course?
It'd be more concerning if they were transferring on a team that finished 10-2 compared to 2-10. Obviously, I'm not pointing the blame at any of those three or four players for what transpired this season. There's a whole slew of reasons why Illinois struggled on the football field this year. But I think in terms of Watson's case, I think he looked at it as a chance where he's graduating in a few weeks, and he's going to be a fifth-year senior. He'll be eligible immediately wherever he goes next year. And he wants to go play for a program that's probably going to win. And I think you look at what Lovie Smith did this year, playing all those true freshmen, and look at the roster makeup going into next season and the schedule as well. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find those six wins needed to get to a bowl game. So I'm sure he's evaluating different options, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot of options too. He was a very productive linebacker in the Big Ten, made plenty of tackles these past two seasons. And in the case of Pat Nelson, it's interesting too, just because he's going to graduate as well in May, and he's, unlike Watson, he's going to have two seasons of eligibility. So he could go play right away next year for an FBS program. He doesn't have to lose a year of eligibility at all. And you know, he was a heavy hitter in the secondary, a guy that came out of Hales Franciscan in Chicago, and was noteworthy in the class of 2015 for quite some time because he was the only defensive commit Illinois had for about 7 months or so. And he tore his ACL right before, in the summer before the 2015 season, and then just really elevated his play when he was put on the field last year as a redshirt freshman.
Kind
of came out of nowhere. We weren't really sure what to expect out of him just because he'd missed all of 2015. He's coming back from an ACL injury and really showed up at that the Big Ten opener last season at Nebraska. A close game for three quarters. He had 16 tackles, and he just seemed to be kind of a steadying presence on the field. And I think it's a loss, obviously, for the secondary, but Stanley Green does come back for Illinois, so there's some experience there. And Gabe Meginson's just an interesting case too. Highly, highly coveted recruit out of Jacksonville. Was almost thought of at the time when he committed as kind of the signature recruit in the Tim Beckman era, so to speak, at least up to that point, because he was an in-state kid, 90 minutes away, had multiple offers from other Big Ten schools, SEC programs as well. And overall, he's just a great kid to talk to.
Yeah.
A little on the goofy side, but that, I think, endears him to a lot of people. And I know I had some great conversations with him throughout his time at Illinois, but for whatever reason, he just wasn't able to consistently, you know, find playing time on the field, and having to deal with a lot of different offensive line coaches, I'm sure, played a role in that. But I'd imagine you might see him land at an FCS school where he could play right away next season. And, you know, we'll see what shapes up for the rest of his college career.
All right. And then last night, Illinois losing to Wake Forest 80-73 in their first road trip of the year. Saw a lot of youth out there, and the struggles that you would find on the road. The officials are something that sort of still sticks in my craw a little bit, but Brad Underwood sort of bit his tongue post game after the game as well.
They missed it, whatever. I'm not going to get into all of that. They've got a hard job. That's an elite crew. You know, I haven't seen the replay other than what was, but I'm not getting into all that. But yeah, I think it shows the willingness of our team to fight and not let that be a point to hang their head.
Yeah, you know, I said this last night, and I thought about, when you lose by, let's say, 20, you never can blame the officials. When you lose by 7, Well, you feel like you want to blame the officials, but you realize if you're that close, there were a bunch of other things that you know, obviously the turnovers were a huge problem, and defense, or lack thereof, was a huge problem as well. All in all, I think the Illini get better out of this in the long run, and they probably learned a lot about themselves yesterday.
Yeah, I remember reading our beat writer Scott Ritchie's preview ahead of the game, which ran in Tuesday's paper, and he makes a score prediction every game, and he predicted Wake Forest to win. Almost got the score correct, too, at 83-79, and at the time I almost called him and was like, are you sure you want to pick Wake Forest? Just because they'd struggled and then were at 2-4 on the season and had some really puzzling losses early on this season, but he was right. I think just that the youth of Illinois showed at times last night, and the offense still needs to kind of get in sync, and you can say what you will about the officiating and the referees, but there's, you know, hundreds of possessions in a college basketball game, and just one bad call shouldn't shift the balance of a game, especially when
just one.
A few. that's true. I'm not a fan of blaming, you know, officials for games getting lost, whatever. There's a multitude of reasons and things you could have done better.
Yeah, I'm not either, but this one seemed to stick out amongst, you know, there's almost always times when you want to complain about officiating.
Oh,
this
yeah.
one just seemed
it's
to stick
nature.
Out. And I don't know why. You know, I'm relatively new around here compared to you and many of the colleagues around here, but I've seen enough basketball yeah. games, and that, to me, just kind of stuck out.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely did. But, again, I think it's going to be a case where Illinois can use it and learn from it moving forward, and they don't have time to sit around and pout at all or mope about it, because they play in about 40 or 51 hours or so up in Rosemont at Allstate Arena. And Big Ten plays here. That's it's hard to believe, especially being the first Friday in December, the first day of December. But that's when the Big Ten season opens for Illinois, and they got to move past what transpired last night in Winston-Salem.
Also playing at about the same time will be Illinois volleyball in the postseason tournament. They'll take on Hawaii. We'll hear from Chris Thomas when we return. You've got Sports Talk with Scott and Matt. First, we check in with Allie Adams. Sports Talk, it's 5:31. Scott Beatty, Matt Daniels with you. Had a chance to catch up with Chris Thomas, first-year head volleyball coach for Illinois. They're headed to the NCAA tournament, Hawaii, up on Friday night. If they win, they'll play again Saturday in the second round, likely, but you don't know for sure, likely to face the host, Washington. Here's a conversation I had with Chris.
Coach, congratulations on making the NCAA tournament. It's bringing the program back to it, but it's also your first year. That has to feel particularly satisfying.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, I was telling the other reporters that a lot of it is done way before today ever happened, or, you know, this Friday ever happens. And, you know, for me, it was just about getting them better every day. And I told them that's the goal and the message, too, get better every day, make sure we go one match at a time, and making sure we're on the same page as a team. And so you add all those things up, and that gets you to a tournament bid. And I'm just proud that they put in the work for it, and they've really taken the time to learn, you know, a new style play. And as the year's gone on, they've gotten better at it. So, you know, we look forward to try to continue that in the tournament. And you know, this time of year, it's kind of anything goes, and whoever's on is usually comes out ahead, and whoever can battle longer has an edge. So we've had quite a lot of battles this year, as you know, and I think we're excited for Friday's matchup against Hawaii, quality opponent, and we're looking forward to it.
You've said multiple times, hey, the work gets put in a lot of ways before we ever get to whatever moment, but during the course of the season, was there ever points where you were maybe tempted to stray from whatever your game plan was, or at this point in your coaching career, do you know how to kind of stick to it?
There's always that moment where you're second guessing yourself, and I think that's where it just comes into, hey, you know, do you trust what you see? Do you trust your staff? Do you trust your players to do everything that you've kind of set out to do, whether it be with a singular game in terms of matchups or in terms of just a performance, or performances with a type of skill set, let's say passing or whatnot. You know, there's some times where you're going to struggle against the Big Ten teams because they're good servers, but, you know, you kind of have to stick with it. And I don't like pulling the leash too early, so to speak. So just making sure that we're always, you know, on the right mindset. That's probably been the biggest thing for us, and constantly reminding them that, hey, we're good, and we played against the really good teams out there, and you know, we're able to persevere through a lot of matches this year. You know, 12 win. I told the team after Ohio State, and especially with that win on Saturday, you know, we've got one out, 15-13. Ohio State's back's against the wall. They're fighting as best they can. They win and they're in the tournament. They lose and they're out. And you know, I'm proud that we still battled them toe to toe and you know, knock them out of the tournament. You know, unfortunately for them, but you know, fortunately for us is you know, we show that we compete every step of the way.
We're talking with Fighting Illini head volleyball coach Chris Thomas. Three wins in a row, including that big one over Minnesota here to close out the regular season. Is your squad playing their best volleyball of the year?
I think we're playing really good volleyball right now. Whether it's our best, I'm not so sure we've even hit that point yet. There's lots of things that go into consideration with that. Some of it has to do with matchups. Some of it has to do with how's everyone feeling. Definitely, you know, beginning that win makes you feel a lot better than not getting that win. I was telling the other reporters that, you know, I think about a couple weeks before that, everyone kind of got, I think they kind of tournament crept into their mind and played a little bit tighter. And because of that, I don't think we played quite as well. And we kind of, hey, let's refocus back in and make sure we're focusing on the, you know, proper things, first contacts, you know, attacking smartly, you know, go down a list of things that we talk about. And we were able to regroup and quality win against Minnesota, nice, really nice win against Iowa at home on Brandy Senior Night. And then, like I said, the battle against Ohio State. So, it's really nice to be playing that type of volleyball right now. And again, it's going to take that type of effort every match you play in the tournament. So it's a good way to finish out.
You get Hawaii on Friday night on the West Coast in Seattle. I've heard that you've got a bit of scout on them already. What kind of style do they play out there in the West Coast or the islands compared to what you get in the Big Ten?
Actually, not much different. You know, I've coached in that conference for 4 years, and Hawaii always has Big Ten style players, you know, big middles, good outsides, pin hitters, good setter, nice libero. I mean, it's going to be very much a battle, and a lot of people are saying it's, you know, it's the toughest first round matchup, and I wouldn't disagree with them there. There's lots of tough first round matchups, but I think you know, Hawaii, you know, historically a competitive team, and we know that coach very well too. She was Jen's teammate in the 2008 Olympics, so we know she's as competitive as anyone, so we know they're not going to go down without a fight. And but that's what we expect, and that's what we've been playing against all year, so we're ready for the challenge.
I suppose all things being equal, it's not a tough recruit for them, is it?
No, it's a nice place to play. Again, I had given a interview to one of their reporters a couple days ago, and we have a lot of respect for the Hawaii program and what they've done for volleyball. You know, they seat 10,000 people, they fill their gym. Their passion is anyone, any fan base, and so it's just good whenever you can play teams like that. And it's, you know, a lot of respect for the game for them, and they've always produced a good program. So again, excited for the matchup, and it would be tough no matter who we would have gotten. It's not like it was Hawaii or, you know, someone else. You know, we played a lot of other teams that are in the tournament this year. You know, Michigan State has Missouri State, who we played, you know, and battled us to five. They're a very good team. That's the first round matchup. Michigan has to play Colorado State. You know, that's a really good matchup. So we weren't expecting anything other than tough. And like I said, I'm proud of the way we've been fighting all the way through.
And lastly, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'll go ahead and ask it anyway. Do you as a coach or a coaching staff permit yourselves to think about and prepare for Saturday if you get through Friday, or is that get to it when you get there?
You got to prep for it as a coach, and we take a look at that stuff, but our focus for the team remains on Hawaii. And, you know, Washington's hosting. There's a good chance that they'll, you know, get to the next round, but we got to take care of business first. There's no reason to look ahead. Again, I think part of the bonus of being in the Big Ten is that we've seen lots of different styles of play and player, and you know, we've had to deal with every type of hit, contact, you know, anything that we scout, we've gone over it. And the one of the things I'm most proud of is that we've been really good at making adjustments as time goes on and as the season's gone on in our Big Ten season. So we always have a scout to start off with, but, you know, in the game, what are they doing to us? You know, where can we serve differently? Kind of go down a list of items we look at, and we've been really good at making those adjustments. So I'm proud of them that they can make those adjustments, still compete at the high level, and come out with some wins as we have been.
Coach, congratulations. Nice moment for you in the program, and best of luck.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
The Illini in the NCAA tournament coming up on Friday night. Come back, we'll turn our attention to some high school sports, including Urbana boys basketball coach Fidel Jones. Welcome back to Sports Talk on this Wednesday. Scott Beatty and Matt Daniels with us. Want to let you know, tomorrow we are at Scotty's Brew House on Neal Street in Champaign. Matt and I will be there from 5 to 6. Come out and join us. Have some good eats and drinks as well. TJ Wheeler will stop by as well. Former Illini basketball player from the early 90s. He still hangs around in town. His son plays basketball for Unity.
Son's really good.
Yeah, he is. And he has some Division I opportunities, I think, as well. So looking forward to catching up with him. He never holds back on his thoughts.
No, that's great. Great to see you. Great to excited to have him on. And, you know, we'll talk to him about his Illini days as well and get the lowdown on Unity Rockets boys basketball as well.
And appreciate Scotty's Brew House naming a restaurant after me. So I'm happy to oblige and go out there. hey, you may have already gotten to know him or knew him from before, but bringing him on for the first time here. Colin Likas is the preps coordinator now for News Gazette and is here. Wanted to introduce you to the masses here,
yes,
Colin.
Thank you.
Good to have you back. This is not your first go-around.
It is not. I was here for 3 years as a copy editor, and if anybody remembers me out there, the masses, it's because I was the helmet stickers guy
for most of the time.
And I put myself through embarrassing stunts to make those videos more entertaining. So, yeah.
So it's good to have you back, and Anthony Zillis has stayed on and is working, I think, a little bit with you, but doing a lot of multimedia projects for News Gazette Media throughout all kinds of things out there in the community, but you get to zero in on the prep scene. And what do you love about high school coverage?
Oh, it's just, I mean, the passion that everybody has for it. I mean, it's just unrivaled, really. I mean, you know, parents are into it, kids are into it, coaches are into it. I mean, everybody's having fun, and it's just, you know, it's like the basic level of competition, really. It's where it all starts before you go to college, go pro. Everybody wants to talk to you, and there's a lot of high schools out here that we cover. So
yeah, and you almost sort of forget because Illini are the main thing around here, as they should be, and you know, especially football and basketball. But there's so much under that it can sometimes get lost. What are some of your favorites to cover?
Well, cross country for me, which nobody will ever say, but
no,
I say
Anthony
it.
Said that.
Did he really?
Yeah,
he really.
Well, that in track and field, he always.
Oh, I said cross country because I ran in high school, so that's an easy pick for me.
You're a basketball guy.
Yeah, I'm a college basketball guy, not really NBA, but college basketball. Yeah, so prep basketball is fun. Prep baseball is another one of my favorites, but there's no sport I dislike covering. Really, they've all got their quirks.
Good answer.
I mean, that's how you draw fans, right?
I'm just going through the questions that Matt probably already asked you in an interview, right? You come here to us by way of Northwest Indiana. What's your background?
Yeah, so Crown Point, Indiana.
Spike Albrecht's hometown.
Yes, that is correct. Trying to think of any other connections that could be down here. I don't think there are.
No, Colin joined us in June 2014, I believe.
Yeah.
Fresh out of graduating from Butler University.
Yes.
So he's covered the Butler men's basketball programs during his time as an undergrad there.
Poor Gordon Hayward's shattered leg, unfortunately.
That is true. But no,
alma mater also of Brandon Gowden, who is a BTN personality and the voice of Madden football.
So met him a few times. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Colin was here for 3 years and did a bang-up job on our copy desk. And in terms of sports, he was a reliable, hard worker who always you know, had a passion for it. And that's you know, going to translate, I think, into the high school sports coverage scene. I'm already, you know, thrilled with what he's been able to do these first 3 weeks. He He started here on back on November 13th, and I think he's been riding ever since, and he's just been a great addition to our team, and I'm really glad to have him back.
You've also worked on the Blackhawks a bit?
Yeah.
He's
so
a diehard Blackhawks fan as well. Yeah.
Do we need to get a hockey segment with you going?
Don't, because that's all he'll talk
about. I will talk for days. That is accurate. Yeah, I blog in my free time with the Fan Sided Network, which I guess I shouldn't necessarily plug, but that's what I do in my free time.
Scott, he's a guy that he's got a beard right now because he's trying to look older than what he is now.
I understand.
yeah, I do too. But no, in the summer when the Blackhawks were going on their playoff runs at all, he'd come into the office on a weekend or so with it's about 90 degrees outside and he's trying to grow a playoff beard and everything. Yes. and he'd come in full Blackhawks jersey, and there'd be a lot of throwing of things at his desk sometimes if they messed up or
tried to
or
stay
yelling.
Calm. I mean,
yeah, he did.
He seemed like a mild mannered guy, but apparently when it comes to hockey, not
but
so
not
much.
Just the Blackhawks bring out the worst in him and the best in him.
College too. Basketball brings out the worst in me. Butler games make me go.
I've been around sometimes when college basketball brings out the worst in them as well.
Yes.
All right. Hey, what are you working on right now?
Well, I was over at Centennial High School today. Tim Lavin won his 300th game over the weekend, a thriller against Muhammad Seymour. So talked with him and going over to Monticello tomorrow for some more boys basketball fun. And then it's just wrapping up the all area scene, girls swimming and football for me. We've got volleyball and a couple other sports. Cross country boys soccer still left on the table, so it's a busy time.
Colin, great to have you on. We'll do it again soon.
Absolutely, thanks for having me.
And speaking of boys basketball, I had a chance to catch up with Verdell Jones. He's a head coach at Urbana as we continue our tour of area hoops. Verdell, we appreciate your time, and you're off to a 1-3 start here in the early going with the Urbana hoops team. You're off to a 1-3 start, but you've played some pretty tough competition from even out of state. What does your record indicate about your team, if anything?
Well, I think that, I've always felt that events such as what we just finished at the Tournament Champions, where you're playing against a national level of talent, that it does one or two things for a coach, and I think both of them are good. It either gives you exposure or gets you exposed. And I think it helps to provide a thermometer in terms of where you are and what you need to work on. I think it's also an eye-opener, too, because sometimes you'll have, young people at times think they're invincible. And so I think sometimes there's nothing wrong with a little humble pie along the way of what we're trying to get accomplished over the long term. So I thought it was a great opportunity to go there and play against national-level competition. And so I think that, it's really a great barometer in terms of establishing who we are and what we need to do physically. We certainly could not imitate some of the things we saw. I mean, where you average teams are averaging 6'6" and 6'7", with 6'10" and 6'11" guys. I mean, but it still gave us a barometer on the fight of us. How hard we were willing to fight. So that's a great place to start, I think, because I think attitude ultimately determines outcome.
Verdell Jones is the head coach of the Urbana Tigers boys basketball team. Now that you're into year two, what did you establish last year? What are you trying to add in now as a relatively new coach with the program?
Well, just trying to establish a culture of what it takes. That winning is not based upon the end result on the floor, but it's based upon the habits that you practice each and every day. Our mantra that and our motto is that you got to win on all four floors: the carpet floor, the home, concrete floor, which is community, the top floor, which is the classroom, then ultimately the hardwood floor. And so as we practice winning on all three of those floors, then it's just a natural overflow into the fourth floor, which is the hardwood floor. And so we're really adamant about our kids competing on all four floors. And so just establishing that being the DNA of who we're going to become as a program. So we're really excited about that. And so we're just implementing that and helping the young people understand that, change for everybody is difficult, but it sometimes is necessary. And so in terms of what we're trying to accomplish at the Urbana High School program, that change is certainly necessary. And so this is how we change. And it's based upon what we do every single day. It's about the journey, not necessarily the destination. So because the destination will take care of itself. So we're excited about that. There's been buy-in. We've had some amazing things happen, even from an academic standpoint, that we were doing with the University of Illinois, the STEM program. And just we're excited about the direction that Urbana basketball is heading.
How do you get involved with the players to be, maybe basketball players at the middle school level right now, or even younger than that? Do you try to create a pipeline there?
Absolutely. Well, I think, but the most important thing is support, going over, being visible, letting the coaches know that you're there to provide whatever support or resources that they need to be successful at that level. Right? It all comes down to relationships. And so as you continue to force those relationships, those healthy relationships with the coaches, the young people seeing you around, you know, the middle schoolers seeing you around, and understanding that you're vested in their success as well, that you're invested in that. And so I think that that goes a long way. And helping to also create a system of expectation that you know flows seamlessly from the middle school to the high school level.
Who are some of the key players for you at Urbana as you have started this season and are looking forward to?
To me, all of them are key, you know, because we continue to really our philosophy is that, you know, we need all 15. I mean, in some capacity, that everyone has a role to play. But we have some returning seniors that played significantly for us last year. Keanu Duke, Tyron Pickett, returning point guard. He's a senior this year. Karez Anderson are returning seniors. And also Kamari Ray Davis, I meant to mention him. And also we have a couple of young men that transferred in, Tyrese McWilliams and Jamonte Williams, and also Peyton Dean. They've kind of added to our arsenal. And so we've got some great underclassmen that are coming, the sophomore Christopher Cross, Bryson Tatum. We think the makings of really, really building something that Urbana and the Urbana Nation, Tiger Nation, can be very proud of.
Well, Verdell, we appreciate a few minutes of your time, and we'll be coming over to your gym for at least one or two ball games this year. Best of luck.
Thank you, sir.
That's Verdell Jones, and we've got podcasts of all the area high school coaches we've talked to here on our season opening tour of Area Hoops. 5:54 Sports Talk. Matt and I are back to wrap it up after this. All right, headed towards the finish line here of Sports Talk on this Wednesday. It's got Beatty, Matt Daniels. A little bit of everything today. And we touched on some football. Maybe more football than you want to think about right now. I know there's some of you that are just like, let's just put it behind us. Let's just not think about it because it's basketball season, and Illinois had a tough loss, but I think one that they will improve on and see what we get coming up this weekend.
Scott Ritchie's got a story in Thursday's News Gazette more about the offense and how Brad Underwood wants it to play and wants them to play faster still, and they're still in kind of the ironing out phase of that, but we've got more high school coverage as well. Our boys cross country all area team is in Thursday's paper, and there's a Illinois connection with our runner of the year.
Pretty cool. Thanks to our guests today, Chris Thomas, Colin Likas, and Verdell Jones. Matt will do it again tomorrow live from Scotty's.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it, Scott.
Thanks as well to Evan Kahn behind the scenes tonight. CBS World News Roundup coming your way in just a moment. It's News Talk 1400, WDWS Champaign-Urbana, News Gazette Media Station, Time at the Tone, 6 o'clock. Good night.